Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
To the Corinthian believers, Paul pointed out 2 groups. The first groups, as we have seen, covered in the first 10 chapters, deal with problems in the human life, things like division and arguments or disputes between individuals, and problems in the married life. But beginning at chapter 11, he turns to deal with problems that touch things in the spiritual realm, specifically things that deal with God's administration in the universe. The first of these spiritual matters is head covering. We may not have much realization about this matter in today's age, but if we hear Paul's word on the matter, we will get more deeply impressed because it touches the very matter of God's headship in the universe. Verse 3 of chapter 11 in 1 Corinthians says, "But I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man, and the man is the head of the woman, and God is the head of Christ. Every man praying or prophesying with his head covered disgraces his head, but every woman praying or prophesying with her head uncovered disgraces her head." Francis Ball has joined us, a fellowship that I would say, if we can borrow a title that's not original, our fellowship today is going to go against the tide somewhat, isn't it, Francis?
I believe so. I think it's just marvelous how Paul addresses these problems that were in Corinth at that time and how practical they fit into our present day. If we intend to please God and come under His rulership, His headship, His authority, then we need to pay attention to how He exalts Christ in every problem that He deals with.
It's a marvelous word again. It's so consistent with what we've been seeing in program after program as Paul deals with these practical issues. His way is so above our way to unveil something related to God, the person of God, Christ, the person of Christ, and now to see God's administration, how it is very much connected to and related to this matter of head covering. It's not just reinforcing, you know, the natural order of things according to the Bible that the man is over the woman. Of course, that's part of it. But really what's at issue here is this matter of who is the head in the universe.
Yes. That's really the point that we will see in this message. Who is really the head of the universe and how that is administered in this present time.
And we as believers, Francis, have a kind of a spiritual obligation, and it should be matched with a practical demonstration, a practical testimony that we are those who acknowledge that headship and, in fact, are ourselves under it.
I think that's the big point in this particular problem that he's facing Corinth with in this message, that how we would express that kind of submission to his authority.
There are several reasons given in the first 15 or 16 verses in chapter 11 on why a woman is to have her head covered, particularly when she prays and when she prophesies. We're going to touch a few of those in the program today. The first 2 are seen in this verse in chapter 11, verse 7. "For a man ought not to have his head covered, since he is God's image and glory, but the woman is the glory of the man." Let's join Witness Lee.
In chapter 11, verses 2 through 16, I like to point out, in these 15 verses, Paul gives us strong reasons for head covering. Number 1, in the church, we need the head covering because the head covering is concerned with God's headship. In the whole universe, especially in God's governmental administration, there is such an order. God is the head over Christ, and Christ is the head over every man, and man is the head over the woman. So, in the church meetings, the sisters should have the head covering. And the head covering upon the sister's head signifies that we recognize God's authority. we respect God's headship. And we are a people not rebellious to God. We are a people absolutely submissive to Him by having the head covered. We have been practicing this, yet we never force people to do this. We don't have to make this just an outward formality. No. But anyhow, the church should have such a sign, declaring that we are a people under God's headship. The second reason is, man is God's image and glory. But the woman is the glory of man. So, to express God's image and to express God's glory, man's head should not be covered. You know, when we pray and when we speak for God, we touch the throne. In doing this, we have to signify that we are under God's headship. We men are God's image and glory. We don't have to have this covered. But the woman is the glory of the man. So the woman must be covered.
Francis, a couple of reasons here were developed about why head covering is important in the New Testament. Important not as an enforced ordinance, I would say, not as a rigid legal practice, but in principle it is important, as we saw before, because it's first related to God's administration. Let's come back to that very important point initially here.
I think this is the main thing we need to see, and the main reason Paul is dealing with this with the Corinthian saints is because among all the problems they had, every problem needs to recognize who God is, who Christ is, who man is, and who woman is. This is important in God's administration and God's order, even in His creation. So this particular problem really comes to the forefront here when Paul is dealing with this in the way of headship, authority, and who's in control. God is over all, over the whole universe. Of course, we know that He created the angels, and He put one angel over the universe to kind of rule it, but he rebelled and went against God's order and tried to take over and deceive the whole universe. So one reason we see this particular problem dealt with as it is to recognize that on this earth there must be those people who are fully under God's authority. And that means under Christ, who is the executor of God's whole administration in the heavenlies, and now being manifested on the earth through the church.
We saw yesterday quite clearly, and I think we should point out again, this point right here in the book of 1 Corinthians, the beginning of chapter 11, is really a pivot point in the book. The first 10 chapters are devoted in some measure to Paul's dealing with these first six problems, all things that are related to the human life and issues we face in the human life. Now, beginning here, however, his attention changes and his focus changes for the rest of the book. The final six chapters are devoted to the matter of God's administration and this authority that is represented in the universe by man being under Christ and by Christ being under God and by the woman being under man. This really touches this very fundamental issue, doesn't it, that you talked about, God's supreme administration in the universe and the problem of rebellion that is really associated with the fall itself.
We can see there would be the need for such a word to come to us even today, because there is rebellion all over the universe, particularly on the earth. There is such rebellion to God's order of things. So this particular passage where Paul's dealing with this, he brings in the matter of Christ being the head of every man and God being the head of Christ. So headship and authority and administration is the key point here in how it is carried out and how it is displayed by us here on the earth.
It was interesting in that section when he was talking about this sign indicates not just that the women acknowledge their place in God's ordination, in God's creation, But it's a sign that the brothers and the sisters, the men and the women, are all under the proper subjection to the unique headship in the universe, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. It's a well-balanced approach to this whole matter. I know this stirs up some rebellion sometime when this kind of thing is mentioned, and I've been in assemblies in the past where this was kind of carried out as a legal matter.
Yeah.
I remember one time an usher came to the husband and said, "Your wife is not covered." And this was a real a legal matter that they enforced quite strongly. But I noticed that sometimes the women were actually directing their husbands how they should behave in the meeting, if they should speak and when and how much, and they directed it with the elbow or with a pulling on the coat when it's time to sit down.
So we're not here just promoting this outward form, are we? We're really touching the intrinsic aspect, the aspect of the spiritual reality behind the form.
That's for sure. We certainly don't want to get into either extreme of this matter, where the women feel they have to take over or where they have to be subservient.
Francis, let's go on. A couple more points in chapter 11, a couple of additional reasons in chapter 11 for the matter of head covering. Verse 8 says, "For man is not out of woman, but woman out of man. For also man was not created for the sake of woman, but woman for the sake of the man." And then a point you touched a moment ago, which we'll develop in this section, that's very critical. Verse 10, "Therefore, the woman ought to have a sign of submission to authority on her head for the sake of the angels."
Mm-hmm.
Very, very key point.
I'm anxious to hear this.
Yeah, me too. Let's join Witness Lee.
The number three, the reason for head covering, is that woman was out of man. God didn't create a woman. We all know this. God formed the dust into a body that is a male body. Then God breathed the breath of life, and that became a man by the name Adam. God didn't create a woman. And how the woman came out? Man was made to sleep. And God cut man's side and took out a rib and used that rib to build a woman. So woman was out of man. But here we men need a little balance. Don't go home to tell your wife, "You have no right. You are just a rib out of me." Then verse 11 is, "However, neither is the woman without the man, nor the man without the woman in the Lord. For just as the woman is out of the man," look how careful Paul uses the word, "the woman is out of the man, because it was a rib out of Adam. So also is the man through the woman." Through. You came into existence through your mother. Through a female, not out of, but through. The woman is out of the man, but the man is through the woman. Now, number four, for angels' sake, Paul says, "You sisters should put a sign upon your head, not for human beings, but for the angels." Why? Satan was a chief angel. He was commissioned to control the universe for God, and he rebelled. And some angels followed him. Of course, a good number still remained faithful to God. Then God created man to deal with the rebellious angels, and Satan seduced man, and man followed him. Then God came in redemption to bring the fallen man back to himself. And these brought back man is the church. And as the church people, we should declare to the angels, both the rebellious and the submissive ones, that as redeemed people, we are not rebellious against God's headship. No need to say in the coming kingdom, in eternity, even right now today, in this rebellious age, we are the redeemed people, submissive to God's authority. Look at the head of all the sisters. There is a sign declaring this. and say, this is for the angel's sake.
Again, two good points here. First, a balancing word, Francis, that not just the woman is out of the man, but the man comes through the woman. So there's the balance that you mentioned before. But let's focus on this last point. I think this is really critical to having a spiritual understanding of this issue and this matter of why it's important for the sake of the angels that the head covering be there.
I think it's really significant that we see that the angels are looking on, both the rebellious angels and the good angels.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking on to see how we're reflecting the submission of Christ to God by being submissive to Christ. So this is really the function of the church, both male and female, to be under this authority. But the order is put out here quite clearly that Christ is the head of every man, but the man is also the head of the woman. And this is a display when the women cover their head, put on a head covering, especially in the meeting of the church. They put on a head covering as a sign of submission to the angelic, rebellious creatures, and also a real sign to even to the good angels that did not follow Satan. But this matter of order in the universe is really a thing we can participate in the order, the way we express ourselves, the way we take care of this matter of head covering. It's not a legal matter, but it is a display. It's a testimony.
Yeah.
It's a reflection of the order in the universe.
And an indication that we acknowledge that we were those who were also in rebellion, but through the work of Christ on the cross in his first coming, he redeemed us, he brought us back, he rescued us out of that state back into a condition where we can be in proper subjection to God. And that's really the church's role in this age, isn't it?
That's right. That's really what I wanted to try to say, that we were the rebellious ones also, but we got rescued by the redemption of Christ. And now we are not the rebellious ones. We are really under submission. And this is a display, this kind of head covering on the part of the women who are under the headship of man. When they cover their head, this is a sign to the angelic world.
In the final segment today, I think he's going to put a very good kind of underscore on this whole point about the administration of God in the universe and this matter of being in subjection, in submission to his authority. And he will link it even to the final book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, when many of these matters are handled in the way of finality at the end of the age. So let's join Witness Lee for this last portion.
Good.
When we talk about the head covering, we have no intention to see that the sisters would just accept a kind of doctrine and put something upon their head. No, no, that is not our intention. Well, I don't believe this putting something upon your head is your real realization of the significance of the head covering. We all have to see this. Not only the sisters, even we brothers. Paul says, I want you to know that Christ is the head of every man. I tell you, to have the sisters covering their head needs we brothers, firstly, to realize that we must be under the headship of Christ. Paul firstly says, the head of every man is Christ. And then Paul traces back to the very origin that the head of Christ is God. This is the origin of the head covering. You have to link this portion of the word concerning the head covering to the entire book of Revelation. What you see in Revelation, the slain lamb, who is Christ, is absolutely under the headship of God for the carrying out of God's administration. Christ is the administrator who carries out God's administration through his submission to the headship of God. In the heavens, there's no rebellion. Then how about earth? Nothing is here but rebellion. But, hallelujah, among all the rebellion, there is a body. The body of Christ on the earth should reflect Christ submitting himself to the headship of God. The head is submitting, and the body is reflecting that submission. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Francis, if we had an hour to try to say what he just said in that last 2.5 minutes, I don't think we could get it nearly so clear. But let's try to at least repeat what he said, because I think it is the key point in this whole message. There's no real value to this little, whether it's a doily or a shawl or whatever article it is, if there's not a reality behind it. And that reality is a kind of a match in the body of Christ to the submission that exists between Christ as the head of the body and God the Father.
It's just like a reflection. What the church should be on the earth today is a reflection of what Christ is to God in his administration in the heavenlies, so that we're not a rebellious people, we're a submissive people. And that can be manifested if proper order is maintained in the church. But as you said, this is not a matter of some legality or some form that we practice. Even this is carried out in a natural way, even by a lot of other countries and different religions.
Right.
Yeah, they believe in the women covering their heads and so on, but it's not with the same light. It's not with the same intention as what Brother Lee has brought out in this message and what the Apostle Paul was saying in Corinth. So I believe we've gotten a clearer view, a deeper impression of what this particular practice, if it's carried out in a proper way with a proper understanding, can be a real glory to God and a real education to the angels to show them what submission is. So I hope that we could get this message across in a proper way, because I know it's been a cause of a lot of debates among Christians. But we see the real reason behind it all is God's administration on the earth. I think we'd be much more clear. And we have a good balance here with both the sisters and the brothers, realizing where we came from and what we're doing here is to carry out God's administration.
I think you made that point quite well, that if we are in a congregation or we observe a congregation where the brothers are not in a proper kind of subjection to the real authority of Christ to begin with, really, regardless of what's on the head of the sisters, there's a problem. It's not in the light that we saw today. But in its proper context, as you said, with the right understanding and the genuine reality behind it, what a testimony it is, both to men and to the angels, to the universe, that Christ is in subjection to God and the church is in subjection to Christ.
That's right. This is a marvelous message that is much needed among the churches today.
Really so. Appreciate your being here today, Francis. This was very enjoyable. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.